You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Kevin Robson.
And we are sharing another mercy story today. We continue our conversation on mercy stories, talking about disaster response and seeing the love of Christ and the mercy of Christ shared in a setting like this in disaster response. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today on the phone, Ms. Janet Simcoe, former District Disaster Response Coordinator for the Mid-South District. Janet, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you.
And Pastor Trey Fissler of the Mid-South District. He is the current District Disaster Response Coordinator. Pastor Fissler, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
So let's talk about how both of you got involved in disaster response. Janet, we'll start with your story. Where did your interest in disaster response begin?
Mine began in 2005, Hurricane Katrina. I was so moved by the destruction that just something in me said, I have to do something. And I do believe that was the Holy Spirit moving me. So I approached my congregation and we took up a collection of personal and cleaning supplies. And my husband and I drove them over to Knoxville to drop them off at the orphan grain train. And then I found out that that wasn't enough. God was moving me to do something more. So I got a band of seven congregants of my congregation, and we just said, let's go, let's see what we can do. And that was in October of 2005. And we actually did four trips from October to October of the following year. We stayed at Salem Lutheran the first time, slept in the gym, and then the next time we went, we stayed at a Camp Restore, and then the last time was Camp Biloxi.
Janet, that's a wonderful story and beginning to our conversation here. So many times, God places in front of us these opportunistic moments that aren't so well pre-planned and coordinated, but things just begin to happen and the people of God respond in love and mercy to their neighbor. Trey, I'm interested in your story too. You're relatively new to the district, more recent seminary graduate. We were just chatting a little bit. Tell us about how your trajectory into this work.
Yeah, I graduated from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana in 2020. And then later that year, into 2021, I was placed at a congregation in Kentucky, in Faith Lutheran Church in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. And I didn't just kind of walk into the program. What ended up happening was the day before my installation at Faith Lutheran Church, we actually had a tornado that came through the area. Actually, there were multiple tornadoes, and this is what they commonly call the Mayfield tornado, yeah. Mayfield, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So that happened in December of 2021, the day before my installation as pastor there. It was a long track tornado that moved across western Kentucky that lasted, as it went through Kentucky, over 3 hours long, for over 165 miles with 190 mile an hour winds. And it was just extremely destructive and catastrophic damage. And we had a lot of people reaching out to us because it wasn't all that far from us and asking how they could help if we were okay. And thankfully we were okay, but we knew that our neighbors weren't. And so at that point, we actually reached out to Janet Simcoe, and she came and we wanted to figure out how we could best help and use the resources that we had. And she actually came and trained us and got us all started on the path that we're on now. So that training came through LCMS Disaster Response, and the Mid-South District coordinated it through Janet to come and teach us the nature of disasters, how to properly respond to them, what the best ways are to do that. Because after stuff like that, people just have so many different ideas of what the best way is to help. And usually there's better ways and there's defined ways to do it. You know, there were multiple different places across the country that sent all these semi-loads full of water. And then all of these other churches wanted to do the same thing, but that just wasn't a need there. What was really needed was teams that could be on the ground, actually showing mercy work in person, praying with people, cutting up trees that had fallen, remove them from driveways so people could get in and out of their driveways and the like. So it wasn't really a real smooth start to it. It was, here we go. You have a disaster in your backyard. How are you going to respond?
Yeah, that is quite an entrance into your first call, into your first experience being in a congregation, having something like that. I mean, I remember all of the news reports when that tornado happened, and it was such a destructive event that happened. And to be the person that people are asking, what can I do? And having that initial, having to have that initial response for all those people. Now we're talking with district disaster response coordinators, talking about what happens during disasters. But what does this type of coordinator, DDRC, what does this person actually do? Janet, can you give us a little bit of just a quick overview of what that role actually does when a disaster happens?
It is, and you put on several different hats. When I was called to the Mayfield tornado, I had no idea what I was doing because I never had the training for the DDRC. So I was going truly on faith that God was going to see me through this. So when you get there, you do a site coordination. You know, is this church going to meet the needs of the teams that are coming in? Are there enough rooms? Where are the bathrooms? That kind of coordination. And then you meet with the ladies of the church and you coordinate the food. And then you'll have maybe 6 or 7 volunteers that will come in. And then you start the assessment. And the assessment is just going and knocking on doors. First of all, we check with the pastors and the church staff. Does anyone need help? And then you move on to church members. And then you move on to church members, families, and friends. And then you just canvass neighborhoods if you need to. And that's exactly what we did. Because the assessment is the most important step in getting the response coordinated. Because without the assessment, which what they do is allow us on their property so that we can assess the damage and figure out if this is something that we can take on. Do we have enough expertise to take care of these trees? And so then we get in a waiver signed by the homeowner that we can come on their property. And then that leads to a work order. And then the chainsaw teams usually come in a week later. So for that week prior, we are out in the cars, in neighborhoods, knocking on doors, writing up work orders, and then making sure who's coming when, where are you going to put them? Are they bringing their own blow-up bed, or do they need a cot? What do they need to sleep on? Who's going to do the grocery shopping? What do we need? And it goes on and on just like that. And then once the teams are there, then we sit and we coordinate the work orders with the challenge of the team. And we try to match up teams because a lot of these people have worked together before, or maybe they're brand new to disaster response. And so we have to tell the team leader, you know, this guy is new. He just had his training, you know, keep an eye on him, help him out. And then when the response actually begins that second week, you know, we've got it coordinated that in that Kentucky tornado, we were in 3 separate areas because of the length of the storm itself. So one team went to Casey, Kentucky, which is down on the Tennessee border. One team went to Gilbertville, which is in the lake area, land of lake, or land between the lake. And then we were not in Mayfield proper, but on the outskirts of Mayfield, working in neighborhood.
Pastor Fissler, anything you'd add to that list of things that a DDRC does?
Yeah, and one of the things that we technically do or tend to do within our district is one of the biggest things that we typically have for disasters is tornadoes mm-hmm. in our area. But Jan has overseen other things other than that. Even after the Mayfield tornado, I believe it was in Dawson Springs, that this neighborhood, they had all this tree damage and the like, homes that were damaged. And in the community, they had actually pushed a lot of this debris from homes and stuff into these sinkholes. And then what happened is that was actually the drainage for the entire community. And so it was actually flooding the neighborhoods as well. So you've got one disaster on top of another, on top of another. And so what actually Jan did when she went in there and the Mid-South District, along with LCMS, actually wrote grants out there to help them fix some of these things. But I think we actually hired a company to come in dig that sinkhole out so that way it could drain again and then help out with all the drainage issues. One of those other things is a lot of those homes there were quite old, and they were still on old septic systems that were not up to code. And then this tornado came through, just destroyed everything. And at that time, the new code had been updated. Everybody had to be on the city's sewer system, and none of them could afford to do it. So part of the Mid-South District's response then was Jan went around and actually wrote grants to help them replace and hook up, get plumbers out there to come in and hook up all these homes now onto the city sewer so that way they could be up to code again and be able to use their showers and bathrooms and everything again. So there's a lot of other things that we do too, but where we're at, there's a lot of tree work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk more about how that impacted that community, how that, just that alone, responding after that disaster, double disaster, if you will, with the flooding after the tornado. We'll continue with that in just a moment, right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Kevin Robson.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Kevin Robson.
We are in our Mercy Story series today, talking with Pastor Trey Fissler of the Mid-South District and Janet Simcoe, former District Disaster Response Coordinator for the Mid-South District. Janet, Pastor Fissler was just sharing with us the story of not only a tornado impacting a community, but then also flooding impacting the community following that tornado, and some of the ways that you were able to coordinate support for the families in the community. How did that make a difference when they were able to receive a grant and be able to bring their homes up to code as they were rebuilding after that storm? How did that type of support impact that community?
It was life-changing for those people, because you can't live in your home unless you have that system and it's up to code. So they were in a rebuild situation, and all I guess it changed their life. I have to tell you that our Lutherans throughout this country are so generous. The Mid-South District received $586,000 in grant money. So again, I was brand new, had no clue, but I thought, I've got to figure this out. So I started joining long-term recovery groups in five counties. And that's how I got to Princeton and Dawson Springs and all the way up to Center City. I traveled throughout Kentucky until we had boots on the ground until January 15th. And then I started going to these meetings, and from February to October 15th, I distributed $586,000 in grants to individuals in Mayfield. I joined up with Catholic Church Charities. They were doing the assessing of these needs, and they would fill out my grant application. They would get the quote, and they would send it all to me. I would meet with President Pablo of the Mid-South District and Angela Fowler, who is our Director of Finance. And we would go through each grant application, and then we would make a decision. And then the checks were either sent to me for delivery or they were sent directly to the supplier. So not only did we do the sinkhole and the septic system, we did sewer hookup. The city of Central City, Kentucky. We worked with the city, and they were going to do 12 hookups on this one road. They were going to put the sewers in and hook them up. And so we accomplished 9 of those. We paid for 9 of those with the funding that I had for that county.
Wow. Pastor, I'm wondering, I mean, you don't read a lot in the scriptures or the Lutheran confessions about sewer hookups or district disaster response coordinators. I don't think that's an official office in the church that I'm aware of, according to our confessions, chainsaws or plumbers or anything like that. But all of this is an expression of the church's desire to take care of the neighbor who is in great physical, mental, and spiritual need at a time, a very stressful, chaotic time. Wonderful work that goes on there. How do you as a pastor tie this together in our theology and the manner in which we go about offering spiritual care to our neighbor? What does this mean for the church to do this work?
This is all the theology of mercy given back to people that obviously can't give to us, and we give that which is not deserved, just as Christ, God in Christ, has done for us, reconciling us to himself. You know, so, you know, we give up all of this time and efforts and everything to better our neighbor. Within that, whenever we go out on job sites, as Jan mentioned, we get the work orders, we go to job sites, so we like to meet with the homeowners and we actually pray with them. You know, we're not just some random people that are helping out, but we are the church who is working through the local congregation. So, for instance, we were on a recent deployment in Rogers, Arkansas, after 7 tornadoes swept through that area. We actually just returned from there at the end of July. And while we were there, it was just devastation. There were trees on homes. There were trees everywhere in yards. It was an absolute mess. And so we needed to get in there and make sure that people could get back to building their homes again, right? And we connected them to the local congregation, which was at that time that was hosting. It was this Holy Trinity Lutheran Church. So in that, the people would come out and say, "We don't have anything to give you." And we said, "That's okay. That's mm-hmm. We're here because of Christ. Mm-hmm. We're here because God loves you. You know, we're here to provide in this time of need, and we don't need anything back. We're just here to love you, just as Christ has loved us."
I wonder what that has meant for you as a pastor, a relatively new pastor, and the members of your congregation. Tell us about the impact on you and your congregation in doing this kind of work.
Oh, yeah. It's very rewarding for us. My congregation sees in that how much love that is poured back into these communities, as well as, you know, people, when we go out to help out these people within our own communities, because we have no shortage of storms there. We've had 116 tornadoes already this year within our district. So there's so much work to be done out there. And we show up and the people say, "Where are you from again?" He said, "We're from the Lutheran Church." And they said, I don't know what the Lutheran Church is. And it gives us an opportunity to witness to our faith, you know, that we're not out there volunteering with all these other groups as just some social organization, but we are the church, the hands and feet of Christ, helping out our neighbors that are, you know, stuff that they can't do themselves. One of the other misconceptions often too is that after storms, people say, "Well, they had insurance." Well, oftentimes insurance doesn't cover most of the stuff that we see after storms. You know, it's, they go to a tree company and they get a quote for $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. That's all got to be paid out of pocket. And so that's one practical way that we can be there and show the love of Christ to our neighbor in their deepest need. Mm-hmm.
I think it's really incredible that you're able to show mercy with chainsaws. Like, I mean, we kind of make light of this every once in a while. That like this is a thing that is very real for people, a very real need. And if you're able to take care of that, that lightens the load of people who are going through something really, really horrible, being able to be there for them and caring for them in that very tangible, physical way. Janet, what is your service as a district disaster response coordinator? What is your time responding to these disasters? What has that had shown you about the desire of people to serve in these ways when a disaster hits?
To me, what it showed to me is Christ's love for me, because a lot of times I had no idea where I was going because my GPS on my vehicle burned out, and it shorted my, I think my phone shorted out, which shorted out the GPS. And so I was just kind of going by the seat of my pants trying to find these places. And I was like, "Lord, I'm trusting you and you only. And I never got lost. So, and what it means to me, it's so heartwarming when you sit down with these men and women and they're crying in your arms, and it you know, you've made an impact, and they're just so overwhelmed with the generosity. They can't quite grasp it at that time.
A pastor was talking about being able to share, answer the question, who are you or where did you come from? Where is this help coming from? And being able to say that we're from, you know, this Lutheran church down the street, or we're from the Lutheran church here in the community. What does that mean for you? What are the responses you heard when you were out in the field responding to a disaster and you got questions like that and were able to share that from the Lutheran church? What kind of responses did you hear?
A lot of them are so surprised. They go, why do you do this?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, because of people like you who need the help. And, you know, and then they just think we're heroes. And it's like, no, we're not heroes. We're just driven by Christ's love for you and for us, and for us to help you. And even the church members, you know, they'll come, oh, you are so wonderful. I said, listen, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for you making this dinner, what would we have? You know, that was just one less thing that I had to worry about. They don't realize the impact that they have on us. And so I shared that with them, and truly, you'll shed a lot of tears in this work.
Tears of joy. I suspect, yes, quite along the way too, Janet, a few tears of laughter. When Lutherans get together, they, even in some of the most trying circumstances, I've always just loved a sense of humor and the oddities and the foibles that we find ourselves in. Pastor Janet, could you tell a story about something strange that happened, unexpected, that caused you some amusement maybe as you're going about your vocations here?
I'll let Jan take that one.
Say what? Am I supposed to respond?
Yeah.
All right. So we had this in pool where we had this very, very large tree, very large. And the weight, there were no limbs on the front of the tree. They were all on the back of the tree, which caused the weight to settle there. So we had this tree. I had gone out the night before because we knew this was on the agenda for the next day. I went out and bought a 36 inch steel saw, and they took that with them. They got it stuck. They bent the bar. The tree was tied to two pickup trucks. The tree was not budging. So they went out and got a 30,000 pound hydraulic jack, built a little hole in the base of the tree, and finally jacked the tree down. Well, it barely missed one of our guys. I mean, barely. All we heard is he's still standing. And at first, you know, are you okay? We're all shook up. Well, that night, all those nerves turned to laughter. And we joked and we made fun. And it was hilarious, but it was so scary at the time. So I had to take the bar back and get a new bar. I said, is this under warranty? And they went, are you the people with the credit card, with our gift cards? I paid with that, with $100 gift card. So yeah, that was the big joke.
I had to swipe every single one of those gift cards.
Oh my goodness.
$1,800, sorry.
But I mean, it's just things like that, that, you know, it lightens the tension, and we had some adult beverage, and it was just so much fun.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Any stories, Trey, that you want to share with us as we wrap up our time together today? Anything you've learned along the way?
Well, I've learned a lot on the way, but just not looking over just the small things and what we can do for our neighbors in these communities that are in need, especially those who are of the household of faith, that we can be there for them. Even if it's just a simple thing as making meals, as our alert teams, our Lutheran early response teams do, or if you have the calling and the vocation and skills, to be there with a chainsaw if need be, and if you're willing to do that. There's a great need for it. Where we're at, we're in what's now considered the new tornado alley. Mm-hmm. So every time we're out working, usually there's another tornado somewhere else and people that have their lives impacted. So, it's kind of changed my mindset on a lot of that stuff. You don't just see the disaster, but rather you see all the people that are hurt and you see a way that you can be there for them in a tangible way to bring that hope of Christ to them in their time of need.
And we also give out quilts that are made by the LWML ladies. And that is a real highlight when you come back and thank them that we could help them and hand them this quilt and say, when you're stressed, just wrap this around yourself. It was made for love and it was made for you.
Our guest today is Janet Simcoe, former Mid-South District Disaster Response Coordinator. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
And the Reverend Trey Fitzler, the Mid-South District Disaster Response Coordinator. Thank you so much, Pastor Fitzler, for being our guest.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And I'm Kevin Robson.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.